tuned in to Agriculture Today. Thanks for listening. And on the grain market scene, we see trades that are closely scrutinizing what's going on weather-wise with those summer crops. We'll take that up first as we visit once again with grain market economist Dan O'Brien of K-State Research and Extension. He joins us from his office in Colby, northwest Kansas. Dan, the USDA earlier in the week in its weekly crop progress and condition report lowered the condition of the corn crop and the soybean crop as well showed some vulnerability likewise in those new numbers. But staying with the corn for the here and now, there are some genuine concerns that the markets are now having to digest.
Yes, in fact, in this last week, it seems that the markets sold the rumor of higher rainfall amounts coming in. And then when the rainfall that did come to some of those Corn Belt locations wasn't as high as it turned out, then they bought the facts. So we're reversing the normal mode of how grain markets go. But you can sure see on the U.S. Drought Monitor, you know, we have extreme drought problems up in North Dakota, parts of Montana, heading off into South Dakota, and developing abnormally dry to moderate drought areas in most of Nebraska, and now even severe drought through a fair streak from northwest Iowa down to southeast Iowa. And again, you're running through some awfully important corn production areas of the United States. You're talking about eastern Nebraska and those parts of Iowa. And we have some dry conditions developing in various parts of the state of Kansas even. Again, in the north central area in particular looks like the worst part of that. And then heading towards through Oklahoma to the Texas Panhandle, some issues. Parts of Illinois and Missouri also having some dry conditions. So we have these conditions developing. It won't be but a couple days. Will be August 1st, and then asking ourselves the question of where we stand right now and what conditions during the month of August could bring for these crops. It is interesting when you look at NOAA, the U.S. Weather Service, basically, their projections for the month of August universally in almost the whole continental United States, except for parts of Arizona and New Mexico and the Four Corners area down there, you know, all higher temperatures than normal for the month of August. And of course, worst in those areas we just talked about up in the Dakotas and Montana. Really not any shortfall of moisture, though. So if you get hot temperatures and normal moisture, well, you know, that can work out pretty good, but you just don't want to be in some of those areas that are unfortunate enough to miss the normal moisture given the high temps. And as you move from August on into September, October, that forecast actually intensifies with the coasts getting hotter relative to the overall average, and the upper Midwest, again, Nebraska, Iowa, northern Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, all those areas, Michigan, all having some pretty hot temperatures. And again, moisture not really projected to be anything other than normal. But so again, if we have spotty moisture, if a region that any of us are living in would happen to miss rainfall, you know, heading through August and September, that'll affect at least fill on these crops, and will have a lot to do with where the markets go. So here we've gotten to this point, and the grain markets have been, I think, justifiably volatile. The corn market been trading since about mid-June, anywhere from 365 up to 405. I guess I'd call that moderately volatile. You know, to really get worried about the corn crop, I would think you'd see the lead futures contract go even, you know, markedly higher than 405. You know, we're talking about $4.50 to $5. We've been in this range of, again, about 365 to 405, closing yesterday at 374 for a good while. Haven't really, really shown any wild fears of a short crop. So it just really puts the onus on those crop reports that are coming up again. And I think August 10th, the September crop report, the October crop report, just a lot of potential volatility coming in, and not just to the high side, but in either direction. And there'll be a lot riding on how those numbers work out, not only for the corn market, but also now as we head into the more vulnerable times of the growing season for soybeans in August as we're flowering and going through those stages of development, I think our attention will turn all that much more, not just to what's happened or has happened with corn, but what is going to be happening with soybeans. And again, the range we've seen since about mid-June has been from a low of about 905 up to a high of 1030 and closed yesterday at about 994. So we're having that type of movement in the soybean market, even though we've had, again, humongous production down in South America. So interesting times. We have anything but markets that have become convinced that we're going to have great crops and have started their slide off into harvest. We're still holding in these very volatile price ranges. And I would think, unless we suddenly get cooler temperatures and rainfall in some of our worst affected areas, I would think that this volatility and uncertainty will support prices at least through the August crop report. And depending on what we get from there, then we'll see what happens on as we move towards September and October.
This does parlay into the latest price probability projections for soybeans that you've put together, and we do wish to cover here in just a moment. On the export front, the dollar is falling in value around the world. However, exports for feed grains are rather poor, you note. Wheat is only so-so. The bean trade is pretty slow, so nothing has really gelled there of late.
We haven't had a short crop shock to the system coming to the degree that people can't get supplies elsewhere. I would say in our notes, if anybody pulls them off of Ag Manager, go ahead and look at the International Crop and Weather Highlights, dated July the 25th, and you see a good number of places around the globe that just aren't doing sterling in terms of their crop development situation. Again, a drought in a lot of places. Just real quickly, again, Southern Europe, Spain, Italy, the Northern Balkans, all having problems. A lot of heat, drought issues going on in Turkey. Ukraine continues to suffer. If anything, really, the surprise in past years where we'd really pay attention to this, for some reason this year we're not so much, lack of rainfall in some key growing areas in China starting to affect their outlook for their crops. Australia's been suffering for a while. I've had some showers, but still haven't had enough to recover. There was a frost that hit the wheat-producing regions in southern Brazil that's at issue. And maybe the biggest factor for us that could affect the wheat markets is how this drought that we have in our northern states goes right across the border up into Canada. And it's really a terminology being used that drought has intensified in sections of the southern prairies. Well, that's affecting their spring wheat prospects. So not just our spring wheat crop affecting the overall U.S. and world markets at play here, but also the damage going on right across the border up into Canada. So, you know, if this is going to bring a massive change in the wheat market, then we've seen some movement in the futures, but gosh, the basis levels are still awfully wide. Maybe in our neck of the woods, Eric, perhaps that's reflecting the protein issues. Again, we're still watching the protein spreads down in Wichita. From a cash price of $3.91 to 11% protein at $4.86, as was listed on yesterday's report, to 12% protein at $5.36, 13% protein at $5.76, you know, you're jumping a dollar from a basis of 90 under to it. Well, it's more than a dollar from 90 under for the cash price up to a 13% protein figure of 95 cents over. So somewhere out in here, the market's just pretty concerned about having adequate wheat protein for everything that we do with wheat. And just bears a lot of watching.
You bet. Now to your price probabilities as you put them together, comparing those to what the USDA numbers would suggest. And what's it going to take, to cut to the chase here, to see $10 soybeans again?
Well, something other than 48 bushel per acre yields here in the U.S. Again, if we didn't have such large supplies down in South America, I think we'd be $1 or $2 higher than where we're at right now. We'd be somewhat higher. But given what we've got and the impact on the world market, if we have a 48 bushel per acre yield, as USDA is projecting, prices of $9.40. Everything else being equal, if we get down to 45 bushels per acre, prices are probably $10.50 to $11. If the drought that we're seeing in the northern plains extends down into Iowa, parts of Minnesota, and that's the direction it has been, you know, that we're fearful of it heading anyway, then you're down towards a lot closer to 3.5, 3.6 billion bushels for a U.S. crop. In our current world situation, you're getting closer to about $12 per bushel. What's the chances of that happening? Still judiciously, probably about 10% in seeing $12 a bushel soybeans. But the chances of seeing 10.50 soybeans, given the expanding drought, probably right now about 1 in 4. Of course, anybody that's dealing with cash soybeans, either as buyers or sellers, they're all going to be watching that pretty closely.
Without a doubt. And again, if you'd like to pick through Dan's weekly notes on the grain trades covering all of these factors that we've touched upon today and much more, you can find those now at agmanager.info. Dan, thanks once again.
Thanks, Eric. Take care.
That from Dan O'Brien. He is a grain market economist with K-State Research and Extension and a weekly guest here on Agriculture Today.